Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And we welcome everyone to Chicago and the Big Ten Tournament. Where tonight the Nittany Lion basketball team will take on Minnesota at 7 on beginning at 6:30 Eastern Time. Already today, Ohio State held off Indiana 79 to 75 in a game where Ohio State, with 5 minutes to go, led by 19 points. Indiana made a run at the end, but again, Ohio State had too big a margin, and Indiana lost, and I think has now lost its opportunity at an NCAA tournament bid. Ohio State right now probably would be in 11, and that would also leave the door open to Ohio State maybe playing in Dayton unless they win the tournament. You're saying, what do you mean unless they win the tournament? A lot of people don't understand the rules. That's one of the purposes of this show, to sometimes explain the rules. If you are the conference tournament champion, you cannot play in Dayton. You automatically get to Thursday or Friday. You have to be an at-large team at 11 or 12 to play in Dayton. You must be an at-large team at 11 or 12 to play in Dayton. Okay? You can be a 12 seed in the tournament, but if you're the conference champion, you're not playing in Dayton. Remember, only two of the four 12s play, and only two of the four 11 plays play in Dayton. So you can be an 11 or a 12 seed, but if you're the conference champion, you don't go to Dayton. Okay? So you don't have to worry about that part. I think that, you know, there's too many. You know, it's one of the things that you do get surprised about in doing this for a while, is like what people do and don't know. Well, if they win, they're going to go to Dayton. No, if they win, you're not going to Dayton. That's not the rule. Okay. Great to have you with us. Hey, how about your guy, Lev Bell?
Team Green, yeah. Chris Elio. Yeah. Chris Elio and the anchor desk won Happy Guy today. But, yeah.
Over what? To be honest with you, over what?
Well, I mean, he's happy he's got a running back now, but he definitely, Lev did not get the money that he thought he was going to get.
I want to go back to what I've said for months now. His decision to sit out the entire year, baffling. As I said over and over again, you know, I mean, if he could have sat out to week 10 and gotten got money. He will never get back the $14.5 million that he ended up foregoing this year. He'll never get it back. And you notice in his contract, he's not even close. He's not even close. Odell Beckham Jr., gee, the Giants got a first-round pick for their guy. What's wrong with your deal? The Giants have three of the first 37 picks in the draft, and they got a player. Giants got a first-round pick, a third-round pick, and ended up with Jabril Peppers to replace Landon Collins. I mean, the Giants got a first-round pick. What did you get? You got a third.
Not as zesty as the Giants deal with Cleveland. The rebuild mode for the football Giants is now underway.
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine. But the Antonio Brown.
Yeah.
You know what's really interesting?
Spent money on electric billboards. He's got Thank You Pittsburgh on electric billboards all over the Steel City.
Yeah, that's adorable.
Wonderful.
People are driving past them and do not care.
Yeah.
Right? They don't care.
I didn't see any huge billboards that are like, let's say, on I-79 as you're cruising into the city. Those are those smaller ones at red lights, like along Boulevard of the Allies, that kind of thing.
I mean, it's amazing. It is amazing. But you look at Antonio Brown. When I ask, you know, this is a legitimate question. In reality, what is the value of an awesome receiver? Most people say, well, today's passing game, of course it's awesome. Really? So let's go through the combined Super Bowl championships of Terrell Owens, Chad Johnson, Randy Moss, Antonio Brown. Let's see, anybody else out there that like thinks they're above the team as a wide receiver? They all combined for none. Zero. That's amazing how that has happened. And when you look at the teams that have won Super Bowls of late, look who the top receivers have been on those teams. You ever notice that? Who the top receivers are on Super Bowl champions. The teams that have won it. Let's see. Let's just go back in time. Last 10 Super Bowl champions, the number one receiver, Julian Edelman. Alshon Jeffrey, Julian Edelman, Demaryius Thomas, Julian Edelman, Golden Tate, Anquan Boldin, Victor Cruz, Greg Jennings, Marcus Colston. How interesting is that? How interesting is that? Oh, yeah, you know, they get me the ball. Well, we've been getting you the ball, and I don't, you know, there aren't any Super Bowls there. I don't see any Super Bowls. Kept trying to get you the ball.
Guess who was late for his press conference yesterday?
Of course. But I'm just, I mean, we have an incredible, there are ways to put together teams now where you can do it with some really good players, you know. But if you've got an awesome player, most especially at the quarterback spot, that makes a big difference.
So this was a discussion down the hallway today, and it focused on...
This is a bad story.
No. It had nothing to do with Kevin the Suit Her. I haven't seen Kevin today. But we were talking about the Raiders. We're kind of looking at the overall long-term picture of the Raiders now that AB is there. I'm just wondering when the first batch of adversity is going to show up, when Derek Carr strings a couple of bad games, AB is going to blow up. And I just wonder, when John Gruden wakes up in the morning, can he look at himself in the mirror and say, Derek Carr is my guy? Would there be a possibility? Don't know exactly when, but would there be a possibility? And Oakland's got the picks to play with this year. Would they possibly dish Derek Carr away and maybe look for another quarterback? Let's say Josh Rosen, who could become available if Arizona takes Kyler Murray.
Josh Rosen is not in the category of Derek Carr. Derek Carr is a better quarterback than Josh Rosen is. I mean, my goodness. I mean, that's...
Or could Oakland move up and get Kyler Murray?
They could. They've got three first-round picks.
Yeah.
I mean, they have three first-round picks. So they have the ability to do a lot of things. They obviously were not in the mood to give any of those picks to the Pittsburgh Steelers. But, again, Le'Veon Bell...
$14.5 million. No, I didn't get that number. No.
Steelers have put AB in the rearview mirror. They have signed former Jacksonville Jaguars wide receiver Dante Moncrief to a two-year deal.
And I believe my silence speaks volumes. All right.
Come on. Andrew Luck's best target 4 years ago. 64 snags, 733, and 5 touchdowns.
Okay, you want to sign Don Hutson? I mean, come on.
Wow, what a career he had with the Packers in the 40s.
But last year, 48 catches, 668 yards, and 3 scores for the Jags.
Good luck to you. Enjoy third place. I'm telling you right now, your team right now, as it stands now, we'll see how the draft goes, is going to fight to get to 500.
This is a big draft for the Steelers. It's a big draft.
Well, it would have helped. They had another first-round pick. Oh, they didn't get that one. Here's the bottom line. Le'Veon Bell, as I mentioned once, I mentioned a thousand times, runs routes like a wide receiver does. You need to cover him with a safety. So now that occupies somebody else in the pass game in the secondary. James Conner does not have the ability to do that. James Conner, you can cover with a linebacker, or you can bring a defensive end out to cover him. Right? It's a simpler Steeler offense without Bell. There's no getting around it. I don't know if there's anything based on the personalities. I don't think there's any way that the Steelers could have gotten around keeping any of these people. Their personalities were not going to allow it. In terms of return, they get nothing in return for Le'Veon Bell. They get a third and a fifth for Antonio Brown. And now they're in a full rebuild mode. Full rebuild mode. And for a Steeler fan, this has got to be tough. I mean, you had really you had one of the better quarterbacks in the league, still do. You have one of the better wideouts in the league, now you don't. You have one of the better running backs in the league who brought a versatility that was special and different.
Well, yeah, we had the killer bees. I mean, you had Bell and Brown and Ben, and now you go to another B combo, but a little bit to the northwest in Baker and Beckham. But I just wonder with Cleveland, and I talked about adversity a little bit ago with that could happen with the Raiders. What if adversity begins to creep in with the Browns? When will Odell Beckham finally, start to act a little crazy and insubordination and Baker, he's going into year two. More teams will have more tape on him to evaluate and break down. But they got young kids, and they are quick.
No offense, they're better than your team right now.
Yeah, I said okay. 8 o'clock. Okay. Hey, 8 o'clock Tuesday night. I'm watching NFL Network. Wasn't even 15 minutes after the Beckham trade was announced. Yep, I never thought I would see the day, but Cleveland, at this point in my mind, have leapt past the Steelers. They have
It's not just Beckham. It's Jarvis Landry. Now what do you do? How do you tilt your defense? You could tilt your defense before to Jarvis Landry. Now you can't tilt your defense. And I think Cleveland right now is better than the Steelers. The Bengals are fourth in this division. The question is going to be as to how do the Ravens react to all of this? Because that's the quarterback, to be frank with you. You talk about they have more tape on Baker Mayfield. That's nice. The difference is for the Ravens is now everybody has tape on Lamar Jackson. That's actually a bigger issue to me than having tape on Baker Mayfield, because Mayfield does some wonderful things in their offense, but he does it in a more standardized way, while Jackson's the wild card.
And what was Lamar Jackson thinking yesterday? He posts a video on Instagram. He's in his car going 105 miles an hour. What's up with that?
He's happy. See,
I didn't hear you say that after Antonio Brown was cruising up McKnight Road, leaving Pittsburgh going 100 miles an hour. Was that the morning of the Patriots game? I think.
Yeah, it was the morning that he couldn't wait to get to the stadium.
No, he was driving the other. He was driving the opposite direction.
He couldn't wait to get away from the Patriots.
He was driving up toward Heinz Ward's restaurant that just closed a couple of days ago. I was bummed about that. Table 86 closed. They had great food in there. Loved going in there.
Oh, my goodness.
Turns out Heinz didn't have any say, and he wasn't part of the management or ownership of the place. It was just, they were just, his name and number, and that was it. But, the people that were running it, they were bickering against, they were bickering toward where they wanted the restaurant to go, or probably profits. It was probably sharing of the pie of the profits, so they decided to close it.
Well, this is, of course, Pi Day.
That's right. 3.14.
I mean, do I have to come up with everything at this radio station? Do I? I mean, come on. Do I have to come up with everything? I mean, my goodness. Lawrence went through the whole day and said it's March 14th. Guy, come on. I mean, you know, and the suits out there, he's trying to make big-time sales. I mean, the St. Petersburg race that he's been so anxious for goodness sakes, there was only 12 minutes of audio the entire race. See that?
No, I didn't hear about that.
The technical problem, they only had 12 minutes of audio the entire race.
Wow.
All right. So, ladies and gentlemen, another great IndyCar season.
That still didn't bother him one bit. He was probably imitating Lee Diffie doing the play-by-play.
And you know what's really cool? There's a lot of rumors, I guess. But I guess Mario Andretti has bought a lot of digital media. We'll come back with more in a moment. Here in Chicago, where last night, Illinois in overtime beat Northwestern. They get Iowa tonight after Penn State, Minnesota. Getting underway in a few moments, it is going to be Maryland and last night's winner, Nebraska, which actually came back and then went on a 15-0 run and beat Rutgers. Already, Ohio State has won. They will get Michigan State tomorrow. Penn State, Minnesota tonight, 7 o'clock. We're on beginning at 6:30 as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC Way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC Way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC Way. The SMC Way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
All right, let's get some scores here for you. Villanova won earlier today. They advanced, beat Providence. Creighton, meanwhile, Xavier leads Creighton 36-29 at the break at Madison Square Garden. In the Atlantic 10 tournament, George Mason and George Washington 31-31 at the break. MAC tournament has at the half, Central Michigan leading Kent State 42-34. Big 12 tournament in Kansas City, TCU leads Kansas 23-11. TCU trying to strengthen its bid. Ohio State, I think, has done enough. I think they're going to get in now. They beat Indiana 79-75. Ohio State had like a 19-point lead in this game. Indiana came back up within two, and then C.J. Jackson, a couple free throws, put it away. And Maryland and Nebraska, 5-5. Opening 5 minutes, first half. Oh, look, Zion Williamson's going to play tonight. Aren't we lucky?
Wonder if Coach K will control his minutes. Ease him back in.
Yeah. That's certainly something that entered my mind. I'm all concerned.
I'm just curious what happened to that shoe, that blown-out shoe.
It's probably in some Hall of Fame somewhere.
Springfield? Yeah.
No.
Florida
State leads Virginia Tech 19-12, 8 minutes ago, first half in Charlotte. Zion rejoins Duke for tournament tonight. Big headline. Will Wade says he should be allowed to coach. What, some Division III school?
For nearly 100 years, Purdy Insurance has been your locally owned, family-operated source for insurance products. With a staff of over 20 and partnerships with some of the industry's most trusted companies, Purdy has the experience and resources to get the job done. Whether you need personal, home, and auto, or complex business insurance solutions, Purdy will help you navigate through the process. Call today at 570-286-5855, or better yet, stop in their Sunbury office to see what Purdy Insurance can do for you.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
The sun has come out here in Chicago. Penn State basketball tonight against Minnesota in the Big Ten tournament. The winner gets Purdue tomorrow night. Earlier today, Ohio State built a 19-point lead that held off Indiana 79-75. Right now, Maryland is playing Nebraska, which beat Rutgers last night. After Penn State and Minnesota tonight, the late game is Iowa against last night's winner, Illinois, which won in overtime over Northwestern. All right, the Giants have made big moves along the way. Odell Beckham Jr., Olivier Vernon, and others. Landon Collins has left. And Matt Lombardo from NJ.com joins us. Matt, welcome. It's great to have you with us on the show.
Steve, thanks for having me on, as always.
Matt, let's start with this. Odell Beckham Jr., if I recall, the Giants were talking 3-4 weeks ago, a while ago. Look, we didn't sign him to a big contract to trade him. Now they've dealt him. Why?
Yeah, Steve, that quote has been floating around ever since General Manager Dave Gettleman's end-of-the-year press conference, and I think people kind of misread it when he said it. And, you know, I asked him about it at the NFL Combine last month, and I said, listen, you know, when you make that comment, it sounds like you meant it when you signed him to the contract. You didn't intend to trade him, and you kept trotting out the same line and the same line and the same line. And he said, that's good listening, that's good ears. And that felt like a tectonic shift was happening within the Giants organization, that, hey, this might actually happen, they might actually deal this guy. And I think that when you look at, Steve, the fact that they had conversations with the Los Angeles Rams dating back to last spring, I know the New England Patriots have been in conversations multiple times, and it seems like the smoke of the Cleveland Browns rumors just continued to billow. It felt like there was fire there. And Dave Gettleman could have said, you're wasting your time, I'm not picking up the phone, Odell Beckham Jr. is a Giant, we hope he retires as a Giant, but he never did. And I think that, Steve, when you look at what they got in return, the first round pick, number 17 overall, the third round pick, you look at bringing in Jabril Peppers, I think they were scared to death that if they were 1-6 or 1-7 again, Odell would pull an Antonio Brown and they would have to give him away for nothing next offseason. So I think this was kind of a preventative measure to maximize his value now rather than potentially having to sell low next year.
And the third round pick is going to be important in this, because anything in the first three rounds, you can really do something. But the Giants are going to have three picks in the opening 37. Is this the what they hope to be part of the cornerstone to get them going again?
Yeah, I think, Steve, you can look at this a couple ways. And the speculation out of Arizona that Josh Rosen is for sale is very real. And you see reports that the Giants would be interested in Josh Rosen if he's available. And that's why I think the third-round pick was so important, because if the price tag to get Rosen is a third-round pick plus later-round draft capital, they didn't have a third-round pick before this trade. They gave that up when they drafted Sam Beal in the supplemental draft. So if they want Josh Rosen, you can now flip your third and maybe 2 4 to bring Rosen to New York. Or if you love Dwayne Haskins, that number 37 pick in the second round, you feel a little bit more comfortable dealing that as part of a package to move up to number one or number two overall than you would have previously without having a pick until round four. So I think you look at this a couple ways. They could either go all in and get Haskins, they could trade for Rosen, or if they really believe that they can get by with one more year of Eli Manning and they want to misguidedly kick the can down the road another year, year, you can go and get one of the top pass rushers like a Rashawn Gary or an Ed Oliver or one of those type of guys and then get an offensive tackle at 17. So I think this trade created a lot of flexibility, and it really jump-started a long-delayed rebuild. It's just a matter of what do they do and how do they go about doing it.
And that's why I asked about the third-round pick. You notice I started with the third-round pick. To me, that is the collateral pick that can change how they draft among the first 37.
Oh, no doubt about it. If you're not trading for Rosen and you have two picks in the first 37, right. Or three picks, rather, in the first 37, that third-round pick, you can package that to move back into the first round if you want to package 37 and your third-round pick. You can sit there and get another contributor because this team needs bodies. They need playmakers. And the NFL has shown you over the years in the third-round pick, you can get quality players and starters, which they didn't have that selection up until this trade.
When Eli Manning first went to the Giants, Kurt Warner was at least there initially, and then, of course, they handed the keys to Manning. Is it the thought process here that Manning is that guy for the first half of a season and goes with the draft guy or the trade guy they get?
Yeah, I think, Steve, that if you're asking me today how to read these tea leaves, and I think they change by the week with this team, and I think Dave Gettleman, they might change by the week because I'm not convinced that they have a rock-solid plan in place at this point. But I believe Eli Manning, as of now, is their guy, and whether that's for the first 8 or 9 games before you hand the baton off to a Dwayne Haskins or a Daniel Jones out of Duke or a Drew Lock out of Missouri, that's another conversation entirely. But I think that if the season started today, Eli Manning would be that guy, and he would be that guy for at least half of a season. And I don't think they'd be in any rush to get a rookie onto the field because I think they're eyeing 2020, 2021, and beyond to actually compete for anything.
You haven't mentioned Kyler Murray in any of these answers so far. Is that considered to be off the table for the Giants?
Oh, Steve, I don't think that Kyler Murray is off the table for the Giants. I just don't know if they're going to be able to actually get him. You look at his pro day in Oklahoma yesterday. I thought he knocked it out of the park. You look at the throws that he made, how quickly the ball jumped off his wrist, the accuracy on every throw on the route tree. And the Giants traveling party with head coach Pat Shurmur and offensive coordinator Mike Shula, they were in on Kyler Murray. They met him privately afterwards. They were all over him in the weight room. But I texted a offensive coordinator from another team in the league, asked his thoughts on Kyler Murray and how he did, watching him firsthand in Norman, and his reply was, good luck to the Cardinals. So it sounds like the Cardinals and Cliff Kingsbury are all in on Kyler Murray, but I wouldn't rule out John Gruden and the Oakland Raiders making a bold move to go and get Murray. I know that they're very high on him, and I think they would move heaven and earth to try and get him. And even if the Giants love Kyler Murray, I just don't know that they're going to be able to get up to number one, whether it's to convince the Cardinals to sell out of that spot or beat a package that Oakland might be able to put together.
Yeah, because whether it's Rosen or it's Dwayne Haskins. Now, Rosen I never saw in person. Obviously, Haskins I have. You need a good offensive line, which obviously Eli needs. I mean, Eli needs a great offensive line. But you still need a good offensive line for either one of them. So where do the Giants stand in that area, in your opinion?
Yeah, I think that they've improved this offensive line pretty dramatically this offseason, Steve. You make the trade, of course, giving away Odell Beckham Jr. is the big piece, and Jabril Peppers is the top 16 or 17 safety in the league. But you bring in Kevin Zeitler, who Pro Football Focus had as the number one rated pass blocker in the league. He's a top five offensive guard. You plug him in at right guard. It's an immediate upgrade over Jamone Brown. They brought back both Spencer Pulley, and John Jalapio, so there'll be some competition at the center spot. I think both of those guys are more than adequate. Now you just need a right tackle. And if you decide to keep pick 17, you don't trade it away, maybe you get somebody like Jonah Williams. Maybe you get somebody like a Bobby Evans. Maybe you get another offensive tackle who you have on a rookie contract opposite of Nate Solder. You took Will Hernandez last year. And I don't really think this offensive line is all that far away from being, I'll say, competent and maybe better than that. So whether it's Manning, whether it's Haskins, whether it's Rosen, I think this offensive line is maybe one player away from being where it needs to be to help the Giants compete.
How did you view Odell Beckham?
I got to know him pretty well last year, and the thing that stuck out to me is, yes, he's an enigmatic personality. Yes, he can create some distractions that maybe people upstairs didn't appreciate. And I think there might have been some friction at the end of the year between him, Dave Gettleman, and Pat Shurmur with how they handled and how he handled the quad injury that cost them the last four games of the season. But I get the sense that Odell Beckham Jr. really only cares about football, really only cares about winning. He's not a guy that you're going to have to worry about getting arrested. You're not going to have to worry about that 3 a.m. phone call. And obviously, some of the off-the-field distractions and his, you know, boisterous lifestyle and flying around the world, that all is that superstar aura about him. But deep down inside, I think Odell Beckham Jr. is a guy who only cares about winning and really, I think, grew frustrated with Eli Manning over the last 2 years and the direction of the franchise.
In the short term, based on the deal of Beckham, does this now put more of the offense into the hands of Saquon Barkley?
Oh, no doubt about it. And Steve, you and I have both watched Saquon Barkley dating back to his career at Penn State. I watched him and covered him last year. He's got 2,000 yards in total offense, 15 touchdowns. We know the threat that he is catching the ball out of the backfield. He's obviously now going to be the focal point of that offense, both on the ground and through the air. My concern is, as it was a year ago, that the Giants don't quite know how to use him in the passing game. A lot of times he was that dump off or last option for Eli in the flat. They need to design more routes for him, maybe put him in the slot, create some mismatches. And without Odell Beckham on the outside commanding that attention of safeties over the top, you worry about him facing more eight-man fronts. You worry about him being able to create separation in the running game. But you said it best. I think he is the focal point of this offense, and not only the focal point of the offense, this is now Saquon Barkley's team. And you saw last year him going up and down the sidelines, high-fiving guys and encouraging guys when things weren't going well. He blossomed into a leader late in the year. We saw it at Penn State during his career. I think you're starting to see it now. He's a guy that I think is not only the face of the Giants, but he's the undisputed leader in that locker room as of today.
What will free agency do in terms of the signings as you look at it and analyze it? What will that then do to set up what you think the Giants will do in the draft?
Well, I think the Giants have already sat out a lot of the big money deals. They clearly didn't want to get involved in a Landon Collins long-term negotiation. They didn't want to franchise tag him. They brought in Jabril Peppers, who is a comparable safety, maybe even a minor upgrade over Landon Collins in coverage. And he's a guy who makes basically a tenth of what Landon Collins got from the Washington Redskins. They're not going out and signing a big money offensive tackle. I think they're looking to get younger. I think they want to draft an offensive tackle. They need to draft an edge rusher. And they need to potentially add a wide receiver at some point, because I don't think they're all that comfortable with Sterling Shepard, Jawill Davis, and Alonzo Russell being their top three wide receivers.
And there's another element to Peppers as well. He has a really good feel as a punt returner. He can help them in that regard.
Oh, no doubt about it. And I thought last year that Russell Shepard down the stretch did a nice job in that role. Corey Coleman had a couple of opportunities. I know they like Coleman a lot. They brought him back on a free agent tender offer. But I'm with you. I think that when you look at Jabril Peppers, he's your punt return guy, and I wouldn't be surprised to see him out there on kickoffs as well. Anytime you can get the ball in his hands with his game-changing speed, you got to try to do it.
Agreed. Matt, it's always a pleasure. Thanks so much for the conversation and the insight.
Appreciate it, Steve. Thanks for having me on.
Matt Lombardo, NJ.com, always does a great job. We appreciate him very much. We will come back with more in a moment as we continue from Chicago here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors. All right, under 8 minutes to go, first half, and Nebraska and Maryland are tied at 14. It's one thing that you do find, that the teams that played the night before, when they take on the teams that are starting in the tournament for the first time, the team from the night before that won has some momentum going in. And that's, as somebody who's done college basketball tournaments since 1983, that is my experience. Okay. You can disagree with me all you want. I'll just sit there and go, yeah, okay, yeah, it's fine. Yeah. I've lived it. All right. Great to have Matt Lombardo on. It was interesting about Odell Beckham Jr. Yeah, it's amazing. He felt like he was dealing with a professional that wanted to win. Could we say that about Antonio Brown? Or were we just more interested in what our numbers were?
I don't know. I found a video last night where Antonio was knocking on Derek Carr's door and say, hey, I'm here. Welcome me to the neighborhood. Let's get to work.
Yeah, adorable.
Yeah.
when they're 2 and 4, we'll see who's knocking on whose door.
That's right.
Those are the big deals in the NFL. And Le'Veon Bell, he'll never get his $14.5 million he lost last year. I mean, so far, you know, things that we try to predict along the way, saying that this is how it might work, said that Bell would never get the $14.5 million back. Nope. All right, now let's go to the next part. Said the Steelers would never get a first or a second round pick for Antonio Brown. I mean, we've been pretty like line in the sand stuff on that stuff for a long time. So what's happened so far that is what have we said here that hasn't come to fruition?
Well, for years and years and years, we found huge banners of LeBron James hanging on sides of buildings in Cleveland. I don't know if it'll ever get to that point with Odell Beckham Jr. on those banners on those billboards, but he's going to need the ball. He's definitely going to need the ball, and he'll command the ball from Baker Mayfield.
Yeah, we got Jarvis Landry. What made the Steelers in the late 70s offensively work? When they changed the rules in 1978, the Steelers have been a run-based, defense-based football team, not a throw-based team. When they changed the rules on 5-yard contact, the pass interference rules were tightened up downfield and so forth. Well, but what they had Swan, they had Stallworth, and people forget Jimmy Smith. They forget about Smith. Jack doesn't. Jack says, he said, God, we loved him. What a receiver. But they had balance in the offense. The key for Beckham is now he's got Landry on the other side and vice versa, just like their LSU days.
Yeah, but just the over-under. How many games into the season when Beckham may start complaining that Jarvis Landry is getting the ball more than him?
But you know what? Beckham never did that in New York. He never complained about Sterling Shepard or Saquon Barkley.
Although I think the X factor out of all this is the wide receivers coach, and that is the same coach that both Landry and OBJ had at LSU.
I mean, that to me, that's not an issue because Beckham has never been about how many times he gets the ball as opposed to your guy. I mean, your guy.
Oh yeah, well, he was tossing over coolers on the sidelines, and yeah.
You know what? He's not your guy anymore. Your former guy.
That's right.
Ooh, Nebraska's up 23-16 on Maryland. I keep telling you about that momentum thing. Over and over, teams have played the night before. I mean, for a long time, NC State hung with Virginia today, and finally, Virginia said no. We're Virginia, you're not, and beat them. All right. Did you see Zion Williams is coming back tonight? Aren't we all lucky? I'm just happy for him. He's well enough.
Everybody at ESPN's like, thank goodness. Where have you been?
You know what? To be honest with you, you cannot continue to operate your life based on clicks. You just can't do that. You know, you want to be legitimate and thought of as, you know, like, break some, like have some standards. It can't be like 18 Zion Williamson stories on your website. There's a lot going on. Okay, he's not in this tournament. I think it's nice he's going to play. I don't need to read stories about him. And all accounts, he's a great kid. By all accounts, he's a great kid. But because he's going to go to the NBA, and because ESPN has a $1.4 billion a year contract with the NBA, they're going to promote the living daylights out of that kid. ESPN ought to be giving him a cut of the action, considering they are benefiting financially from it. All right. We'll talk about the Phillies next half hour. No wrestling this weekend. Hockey on Sunday. You know why they're playing Sunday? Kiss concert Saturday in Columbus.
You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury. You can hear us anywhere in the world with the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation app.